Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, first class, 15 June 2025, Romans.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And in preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, today is Father's Day, so happy Father's Day to all you fathers out there. I'm not going to give you my Father's Day message. Well, maybe I will. Which came first, the chicken or the egg? The answer is the rooster. So happy Rooster Day to all you roosters out there. Happy Father's Day. Yesterday was Flag Day. June 14th, Flag Day. For Deb and me, June 14th is Divine Institution Day. We celebrate the divine institution of freedom and the divine institution of nationalism because of Flag Day. And Deb and I celebrate the divine institution of marriage. On June 14th, 1975, we got married. That was 50 years ago. We celebrated our golden wedding anniversary yesterday. And then that's the divine institution of marriage. And then our firstborn son, Derek, was born on June 14th. And we celebrate the divine institution of the family. So, Flag Day is Divine Institution Day in the Olson household. Freedom, nationalism, marriage, family. The four divine institutions from God. And yesterday was also the 250th anniversary of the United States Army. And in recognition of freedom and nationalism and the anniversary of the United States Army, I'm going to recognize some men that received the highest award that this nation has to offer, the military in battle. First of all, I'd like to recognize James M. Burt, Captain, United States Army, Company B, 66th Armored Regiment, 2nd Armored Division. His citation reads, Captain James M. Burt was in command of Company B, 66th Armored Regiment, on the western outskirts of Wurzelen, Germany, on 13 October 1944, when his organization participated in a coordinated infantry and tank attack destined to isolate the large German garrison, which was tenaciously defending the city of Aachen. In the first day's action, when infantrymen ran into murderous small arms and mortar fire, Captain Burt dismounted from his tank about 200 yards to the rear and moved forward on foot beyond the infantry positions, where, as the enemy concentrated a tremendous volume of fire upon him, he calmly motioned his tanks into good firing positions. As our attack gained momentum, he climbed aboard his tank and directed the action from the rear deck, exposed to hostile volleys, which finally wounded him painfully in the face and in the neck. He maintained his dangerous post despite point-blank self-propelled gunfire until friendly artillery knocked out these enemy weapons. And then he proceeded to the advanced infantry scouts position to deploy his tanks for the defense of the gains which had been made. The next day, when the enemy counterattacked, he left cover and went 75 yards through heavy fire to assist the infantry battalion commander, who was seriously wounded. For the next 8 days, through rainy, miserable weather and under constant heavy shelling, Captain Burt held the combined forces together, dominating and controlling the critical situation through the sheer force of his heroic example. To direct artillery fire on 15 October, he took his tank 300 yards into the enemy lines, where he dismounted and remained for 1 hour, giving accurate data to friendly gunners. Twice more that day, he went into enemy territory under deadly fire on reconnaissance. In succeeding days, he never faltered in his determination to defeat the strong German forces opposing him. Twice, the tank in which he was riding was knocked out by enemy action, and each time, he climbed aboard another tank and continued the fight. He took great risks to rescue wounded comrades and inflicted prodigious destruction on enemy personnel and material, even those suffering from the wounds that he received in the battle's opening phase. Captain Burt's intrepidity and disregard of personal safety were so complete that his own men and the infantry who attached themselves to him were inspired to overcome the wretched and extremely hazardous conditions which accompanied one of the most bitter local actions of the war. The victory achieved the closing of the Aachen Gap. And for that, he was awarded the Congressional Medal of Honor. I would also like to recognize this morning Richard Earl Bush, Corporal, United States Marine Corps Reserve, 1st Battalion, 4th Marine, 6th Marine Division. His citation reads, "For conspicuous gallantry and intrepidity at the risk of his life above and beyond the call of duty as a squad leader serving with the 1st Battalion, 4th Marine, 6th Marine Division in action against enemy Japanese forces during the final assault against Mount Yaitake on Okinawa, Ryukyu Island, 16 April 1945. Rallying his men forward with indomitable determination, Corporal Bush boldly defied the slashing fury of concentrated Japanese artillery fires pouring down from the gun-studded mountain fortress to lead his squad up the face of the rocky precipice and then sweep over the ridge and drive the defending troops from their deeply entrenched position. With his unit, the first to break through the inner defense of Mount Yaitake, he fought relentlessly in the forefront of the action until seriously wounded and evacuated with others under protecting rocks. Although prostrate under medical treatment, when a Japanese hand grenade landed in the midst of the group, Corporal Bush, alert and courageous in extremity, as in battle, unhesitatingly pulled the deadly missile to himself and absorbed the shattering violence of the exploding charge in his body, thereby saving his fellow Marines from severe injury or death, despite the certain peril to his own life. By his valiant leadership and aggressive tactics in the face of savage opposition, Corporal Bush contributed materially to the success of the sustained drive toward the conquest of this fiercely defended outpost of the Japanese Empire. His constant concern for the welfare of his men, his resolute spirit of self-sacrifice, and his unwavering devotion to duty throughout the bitter conflict enhance and sustain the highest traditions of the U.S. Naval Service. For this, he was awarded the Congressional Medal of Honor. I'd like to also recognize this morning Robert Eugene Bush, hospital apprentice, First Class, U.S. Naval Reserve, serving as medical corpsman with a rifle company, 2nd Battalion, 5th Marines. His citation reads, "For conspicuous gallantry and intrepidity, at the risk of his life, above and beyond the call of duty while serving as medical corpsman, with a rifle company in action against enemy Japanese forces on Okinawa, Iwo Jima, Ryukyu Island, 2 May 1945. Fearlessly braving the fury of artillery, mortar, and machine gun fire from strongly entrenched hostile positions, Bush constantly and unhesitatingly moved from one casualty to another to attend the wounded falling under the enemy's murderous barrages. As the attack passed over a ridgetop, Bush was advancing to administer blood plasma to a Marine officer lying wounded on the skyline when the Japanese launched a savage counterattack. In this perilously exposed position, he resolutely maintained the flow of life-giving plasma with the bottle held high in the air in one hand. Bush then drew his pistol with the other and fired into the enemy ranks until his ammunition was expended. Quickly, he seized a discarded carbine and trained his fire on the Japanese charging point blank over the hill, accounting for 6 casualties of the enemy, despite his own serious wounds and the loss of one eye suffered during the desperate battle in defense of the helpless man. With the hostile force finally routed, he calmly disregarded his own critical condition to complete his mission, valiantly refusing medical treatment for himself until his officer patient had been evacuated, and then collapsing only after attempting to walk to the battle aid station. His daring initiative, great personal valor, and heroine spirit of self-sacrifice in service of others reflect great credit upon Bush and enhance the finest traditions of the United States Naval Service. And for this, he was awarded the Congressional Medal of Honor. Now, I've told you that coming up the 4th of July, and I believe the 4th of July is on a Friday, we are going to have communion. We will have communion on the 4th of July, Friday, and following that communion service, there will be a movie, True Story. True story of a man who was put up for the Congressional Medal of Honor again and again and again and again. And there were some politics, because this was the Vietnamese War. And there were some politics up in government. They didn't want everything known about what they did wrong. This fellow did everything great and right. But the politicians did some things wrong. And they refused to give him the Medal of Honor. For 30 years, he's not in here. This version was written before I even came here. After 30 years, and there was from the government, a man sent out to interview the survivors of this Vietnamese action. It was one of the deadliest battles in Vietnam. And those who had survived, they just over and over, they said, this man deserves the Congressional Medal of Honor. Period. And after 30 years, he was awarded the Congressional Medal of Honor. It is a great, great movie. True story. True story. So on the 4th of July, after communion, we will show that movie. It is absolutely fantastic and one that all of you need to see. All right. Romans chapter 8. Let's start the corrected translation at verse 13. Indeed, if you are living according to the sin nature, that means you're living out of fellowship with God, you're living your life under the authority and control of the sin nature with its lust patterns, and there's a lot of Christians doing that, that's their MO. That's how they're living. Then you are destined to die the sin unto death. But if you're living your life by the agency of the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Spirit and teaching ministry of the Spirit, you are putting to death the deeds of the body, that is the sin nature with its lust patterns, sin, human good and evil. And you will live. You will live the spiritual life of the church age. Verse 14, for all who are being led by the agency of the Spirit of God, divine guidance, these spiritually mature believers are the huios, the adult sons of God. Verse 15, for you have absolutely not received again a life of slavery producing fear, the mental attitude sin of fear, but you have received the Spirit of adoption as adult sons, by means of which we keep on crying out, Abba, Father. And at that point we studied the doctrine of adoption, which is a phenomenal, magnificent doctrine for all of us as royal family of God. Now that brings us to Romans 8, verse 16. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit. That's starting with the King James Version. We have the nominative singular pneuma with the definite article, plus the nominative singular neuter of the intensive pronoun autos, plus the present active indicative of sum martureo, plus the dative singular of pneuma with the definite article, plus the genitive plural of the personal pronoun ego. We start out with pneuma and the definite article. And it looks like that in the Greek. That's P-N-E-U-M-A. And here it is used for the third person of the Trinity, God the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is God the Holy Spirit. And then we have with that the intensive pronoun autos, which even puts greater emphasis on this. A-U-T-O-S, autos. So this is the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit Himself. God the Holy Spirit Himself. And then we have the verb sum martureo. Sum martureo, S-U-M-M-A-R-T-U-R-E-O. E, long O, sum martireo. Now, sum martireo is a compound verb made up of the preposition soon, and soon is with, and then martireo, which is to be a witness. To be a witness. So literally, sum martireo means to be a witness along with. So one, sum martireo means to testify along with, or to bear witness along with. To testify along with, to bear witness along with. Two, it means to confirm or testify in support of someone or something. To confirm or to testify in support of someone or something. Three, in our verse, God the Holy Spirit testifies along with our human spirit that we are the children of God. In our verse, God the Holy Spirit testifies along with our human spirit that we are the children of God. And we have to the second time pneuma. First time it's God the Holy Spirit. The second time in this verse we have to, that's the dative of the article. Pneumati, that's the dative of pneuma. And then hemon. So there's, this is exactly how it looks in the Greek. You lucky congregation, you see this. That's actually how it looks in the Greek. To pneumati hemon. And that is, here's our. This is our. That's you. That's me. That's royal family of God's spirit. And that's the human spirit. So our spirit is our human spirit. The human spirit. The Holy Spirit. God the Holy Spirit. The Spirit Himself testifies along with our human spirit. So, the Spirit Himself, God the Holy Spirit, testifies along with our human spirit that we are the children of God. This is the conjunction ha ti plus the present active indicative of the to be verb eimi plus the nominative plural of technon, with the genitive singular of theos. Now, for those of you who are consistent, faithful, you know, hati many, many times is the causal conjunction. However, when it's after verbs of decendi, which is what we have, verbs of decendi, like sum martireo, then it's correctly translated that. Not because, but that. It introduces an object clause. And hati introduces what God the Holy Spirit testifies along with our human spirit, namely, that we are the children of God. The to be verb, a me, we are. We are, and then we have the word technon. T-E-K-N-O-N, technon. All right. One. Technon means a child. Means a child. Two, Literally, it is a child in relationship to his parents. A child in relationship to his parents. That's a technon. If it's a baby, it's a brephos. If it's a child, it's technon. If it's an adult son, it's a huios. So we don't, here we have technon, a child in relationship to his parents. Three, we have technon theos. So technon plus theos, T-H-E-O-S. A child of God. Technon theos is a child of God. Four. Every believer is a child of God. Every believer is a child of God. If you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ, faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works, faith in Christ, then you are a child of God. You are a technon theos. So every believer is a child of God. Five, positionally, through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, at the moment you come to the cross and place your faith in Christ, God the Holy Spirit takes you and enters you into union with Jesus Christ. And in union with Christ, you are a huios, adult son, in union with Christ. So positionally, in union with Jesus Christ, every believer is a huios. We are adopted as an adult son of God. And that's what we had in verse 15, which says, but you have received the spirit of adoption as adult sons. Huioi. You have received the spirit of adoption as adult sons. And we studied that great doctrine on adoption. Very, very fantastic doctrine. We all need to understand and know. By means of which we keep on crying out, Abba, Father. So positionally, in union with Christ, through the baptism of the Spirit, the moment of faith in Christ, God the Holy Spirit takes you, enters you into union with Christ, and now you are huios, adopted as adult sons of God. That's verse 15. Six, experientially, we start out as technon. And that means we have a lot to learn. That's what that means. Technon means we have a lot to learn. So positionally, in union with Christ through the baptism of the Spirit, at the moment of faith alone in Christ alone, apart from any and all works, at that moment of faith in Christ, the baptism of the Spirit, we are entered into union with Christ. We are huioi. Adopted as an adult son of God. But now, point six, experientially, we start out as technon. And that means we have a lot to learn. A lot to learn. Seven, a technon is someone under authority to learn. That's a technon. Someone under authority to learn. Eight, God the Father has delegated the teaching to God the Holy Spirit. God the Father has delegated the teaching to God the Holy Spirit. A technon is someone under authority to learn. And God the Father has delegated the teaching to God the Holy Spirit, the teaching ministry of the Spirit. Nine, God the Holy Spirit is our tutor. God the Holy Spirit is our tutor. This is the teaching ministry of God the Holy Spirit. Ten, the Holy Spirit has to have a voice. The Holy Spirit has to have a voice. So God has delegated a special spiritual gift, the spiritual gift of poimen didaskalos, pastor teacher. That's the voice. So the Holy Spirit has to have a voice. God the Father has delegated the voice. That voice is the spiritual gift of poimen didaskalos, pastor teacher. 11. The spiritual gift of pastor teacher is the voice that communicates the Word of God. And he communicates the Word of God eisegogically, categorically, exegetically. Now, if you haven't prepared for the ministry, and there's many, many men in pulpits all around that have not prepared for the ministry, then the Word of God will not be taught eisegogically, categorically, exegetically. And exegetically, you got to know the Koine Greek and the Hebrew and the Aramaic. That's exegetically. Exegetically is not reading from your English translation Bible. It has nothing to do with your English translation Bible. It has to do with exegesis. Exegesis of the God-breathed scriptures. Exegesis of Hebrew. Exegesis Aramaic. Exegesis. And somebody, it was my cardiologist. Great guy, Dr. Ruggeroli. He's a Christian. He'll be in heaven. He is a believer in Jesus Christ. And I told him, I prepared for the ministry by going to seminary and learning the original languages. He says, Latin? I go, no. And he has a Catholic background, so I kind of laughed when he said that. I said, no, Greek, Aramaic, and Hebrew. He goes, what was written in Aramaic? I go, Daniel. Oh, okay. He's learned when he starts asking me questions and I give him answers. He's realizing what he doesn't know is infinite. See, you got to know that, you know that? Do all of you know that? That what you don't know is infinite? If you think you really know a lot, you're in trouble. That's called arrogance. But I have absolute confidence that what I don't know is infinite. And thing is, Dr. Ruggeroli, he's asked me so many questions, he's quit asking those questions anymore. But now he says, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? We talk more about what's going on in America and the world than we do about my heart. So, 11, the spiritual gift of pastor teacher is the voice that communicates the Word of God eisegogically, categorically, exegetically. And then God the Holy Spirit takes that communication and teaches the believers human spirit. That's what God has set up and designed. That's how the Word of God is to be taught. Eisegogically, categorically, exegetically. So the spiritual gift of pastor teacher is the voice that communicates the Word of God eisegogically, categorically, exegetically, and then God the Holy Spirit takes that communication and teaches the believer's human spirit. 12, this is called grace perspicacity. Grace perspicacity. There is no substitute for Bible doctrine in the soul and the human spirit through the teaching ministry of God the Holy Spirit combined with the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher. So we have the Spirit Himself, God the Holy Spirit, testifies along with our spirit, the human spirit, that we are the children of God. Got that? This is great. The Spirit Himself, God the Holy Spirit, testifies along with our spirit, the human spirit, that we are the children of God. All right, one. A fact is established by the mouth of two witnesses. A fact is established by the mouth of two witnesses. Two, this is true in law, but it's also true in life. This is true in law, but it's also true in life. Three, in our verse, the two witnesses are God the Holy Spirit and the human spirit. In our verse, the two witnesses are God the Holy Spirit and the human spirit. Point four. This principle of the mouth of two witnesses is established all throughout the scriptures, in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. So let's take a look. First of all, let's go to the Old Testament, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 17. Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 6. Deuteronomy 17, verse 6. On the testimony of two or three witnesses, a man shall be put to death, but no one shall be put to death on the testimony of only one witness. Now just turn over to Deuteronomy 19. Deuteronomy 19, verse 15. Verse 15, one witness is not enough to convict a man accused of any crime or offense that he may have committed. A matter must be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. That's Old Testament. Now look at the New Testament. Matthew 18. Matthew 18. Matthew 18, verse 15. And if our brother, fellow believer, sins, go and reprove him in private. If he listens to you, you have won your brother. But if he does not listen to you, then take one or two more with you, so that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every fact may be confirmed. And then look over at 2 Corinthians 13. 2 Corinthians 13. Verse 1. 2 Corinthians 13, 1. This is the third time I am coming to you, face-to-face Bible teaching. Every fact is to be confirmed by the testimony of two or three witnesses. So this principle is established throughout the Word of God, Old Testament and New Testament. And that's what we have here. The two witnesses are the Holy Spirit and the human spirit. So, verses 15 and 16. For you have absolutely not received again a life of slavery producing fear, the mental attitude sin of fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as adult sons, by means of which we keep on crying out, Abba, Father. Verse 16. The Spirit Himself, God the Holy Spirit, testifies along with our spirit, the human spirit, that we are the children of God. All right. Now that brings us to verse 17. But we're going to take a break. You get to go out. If you're freezing, go outside and get warmed up. We'll see you in a few with part two.